smile first. Thank you, Brother Zion, and greetings, brothers and sisters, friends. It's always a pleasure to be in the house of God, especially on the Sabbath. A taste of eternity. As we want to have our minds focused today on what really it will be like when we reach that kingdom. Sister Elizabeth spoke to the children regarding ultimately we'll have in that time in the kingdom of peace. Not even the animals will be aggressive anymore. They won't be eating flesh, but grass, whiteness. We are not there yet. But I can tell you that our weekly experience of Sabbath keeping is in fact a rehearsal of that time. I use the word time here, but by then time will be no more. And so we'd wonder, what will it be like? Just living without time. Brethren, as we look into the idea of eternal life today, I want to suggest that our Sabbath keeping is a big part of our preparation. Now, this Sabbath, this week, this month alone, the month of October, we have 5 weekly Sabbaths. Also understand that we have 5 Sundays and 5 Mondays. Long weekends. And this happens like every 830 years. So we're having a lot of Sabbaths, this weekly Sabbaths this month. 5 of them. Plus we have the annual Sabbaths. Another 5. So in the 31 days, one-third of those days will be all about what? Keeping the Sabbath. Sabbath after Sabbath. Now, if we enjoy our Sabbath keeping, then this is good news. If we enjoy Sabbath keeping, eternity, eternal life, is great news. But if Sabbath keeping is dull and boring, then our future is not looking that great. So, why so many Sabbaths? And there are many of us who have been keeping the Sabbath for decades, week after week. Is it good for man? Matthew 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So, looking at our own experiences as Sabbath keepers, is this really true? Are we servants of Sabbath, or is the Sabbath there to serve us? Are we getting anything out of our Sabbath keeping? Is it empowering us or enhancing our lives in any way? Brethren, these are the questions that I'll attempt to answer today. And I want to, you know, let it be known that for me, from the very Sabbath I started to serve the Lord, to go to church, it has been the most wonderful day of my life. Every week. So the first thing that it allows us to do is to bring about a sense of reverence in our lives each week. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's look at the beginning of it all. Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. I often wonder, why did God made an extra day when he had finished his work? It was 6 days, everything was done. We have the sun, the moon, the stars, we have the earth, we have the animals, and then he made man. Why made another day? God knew exactly what he was doing. Because time is important. And he sets in place from the beginning 24 hours of sanctified time. Yes, he said he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Now what does it mean to sanctify? It's a time that is set apart for holy use. It is in fact sacred time. Now, when we think about the idea of sacredness, we know in many religions that there are the sacred cows and the different images that people revere. They bow down. Some make signs in reverence of these images, spatial things. But when it comes to time, because it is invisible, there's nothing to bow down to. There's nothing to genuflect to. And so if we're not careful, the time can pass us by. And we do not show the level of reverence that God puts into it. Now, it is not us. We are not the ones that made the Sabbath holy. God made it holy. So whether or not we keep it holy, the Sabbath, that time, that 24 hours is holy. Because God stamped his approval on it. Now let's look at the command itself. Because in the Ten Commandments, God made it very clear. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and he rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So, this hallowed time that God command every human beings that he creates, that they should remember to keep it holy. Now this is a weekly thing. So however you organize your week, he's saying you have 6 days, get all that you have to do done. But the seventh day, that time is hallowed time. When we think of what is holy and making something holy, you know, in my preparation, I read some books and some articles, and, you know, from the time I read Heschel's book on the Sabbath, the idea of the sacred time did hit me hard. And I'm going to quote him here. He says, "The higher goal of spiritual living is not to amass a wealth of information, but to face sacred moments. The higher goal of spiritual living is not to amass a wealth of information, but to face sacred moments." Brethren, I want to use the example of Moses when God had to get his attention to illustrate what a sacred moment should mean to us. And in Exodus chapter 3, from verse 2 to 5, we read, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. But when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he says, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Just imagine for a moment what Moses experienced. He can see the bush. He can see the fire in it, not consumed. So, wow, this is strange. A fire like that should be burning the bush. That was just God getting his attention. But when he heard the voice that says, you know, take your very shoes off your feet because the place where you stand is holy, it tells me that this ground is just not the dirt that you're looking at. That there is something about it that makes it sacred. And that's the idea of the sacred time, brethren. When the Sabbath hours come upon us, we are living in a different sphere. It's not just time as usual. This is holy time. Facing sacred moments, that's the higher goal of our Christian experience. So as we draw nigh like Moses to hear what the Lord has to say, it is in these sacred moments that God gives weekly that we are educated, inspired, and drawn into the family of God. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Who God has called and who God has, no one can take from him. So we are assured of our position in Christ the moment we give our lives to him. But just sitting there doesn't mean that we have everything that we want. There is a lot that we need to get on a weekly basis spiritually in order to survive. Living spiritually takes intention, it takes clear goal setting, it takes organizing one's life to facilitate and accommodate what God wants done. So we want to find out, what is it then that God put in these holy hours? What is it that can be achieved when we get together to congregate? And I want to say, it is even more than we have been experiencing. I was fascinated when I heard the story of this agnostic writer, A.J. Jacobs. Well, this is a guy who loves to live his stories. So if he wants to write about a particular experience, he lived it and then write. And so he chose to live the Bible for a year. So he read different versions and try to get as best understanding of the Bible as he can. He doesn't believe in anything sacred or holy. He's an agnostic. And so by growing his beard and putting on his white robe and his sandals and his doing whatever he can get from the Bible as to how people should be and should live, he found like 700 laws to obey, and he has to try to live all of those, an agnostic, living the Bible. So at the end of his experience, he wrote his book, and he was given a TED talk. And brethren, we're human beings, and this human experienced what God intended. He said that one thing, a number of things he took from it, but one he took from the experience was the idea of reverence and the benefit of the Sabbath. His life has been changed, because before he was just a piece of material, just a man. But living the Bible, he recognized that there are things that are sacred. There's something beyond us. And that brings us into the realm of holiness, brethren. That as we come week by week, time after time, that we do enter into a holy union with God. Holy communion with God. And it is very special. For us to fully experience this holy blessing and communion and all that God has in store, we have to do our part. Now, if we look back in the commandment, God did rest from his work. So in Hebrews 4, we are encouraged, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." So here we are entering this holy Sabbath hour. Now we need to cease from our own works. Now, does that just mean don't go to your job that day? Or is there more to ceasing than that? But then I want to suggest that there is more. Now, Marva J. Adams, she wrote a book on the Sabbath. And she's saying to cease not only from work itself, but also from the need to accomplish and to be productive. Those are works, the need to be accomplished and to be productive. from the worry and tension that accompany our modern criterion of efficiency. We need to cease from those things. From our efforts to be in control of our lives as if we're God, we need to cease. From our possessiveness and enculturation, and from the humdrum and meaninglessness when life is pursued without the Lord at the center of it all. Brethren, do we approach the Sabbath season from our works? We realize that it takes more than just not going to work, but it's a mental attitude. We have to fix our mind to appreciate those hours and give the reverence that's due. Ceasing is not resting. Why? Because rest is more than the physical. If you are physically not working, but emotionally you are in distress, do you think you will rest?
No.
And even if emotionally you feel okay, but spiritually you are restless, will you have rest?
No.
And this aspect of the difference between ceasing and resting, it did hit me hard as I contemplate the enjoyment of the Sabbath. Because not only is God asking us to back away from earning the dollars, from doing our work, but He's saying that we must come to Him, trust in Him. We're going to carry all our cares and place it at His feet.
Yes.
We are going to recognize now that He is God and He alone.
Yes.
And we give Him the full attention, the full power on all our cares, so we can rest.
Amen.
So the Lord spake unto Moses, Exodus 31:12, speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. So this was the time when the letter ruleth. Israel knew that in their dominion, no one should be seen working, because it is sacred time. Brethren, we are living in a time called largely the period of grace, where the judgment of God is not instantly executed as it was during the reign of the law in Israel. But that does not give us license to sin. Paul says that. Shall we therefore sin because grace abound? God forbid. So we now are required to have the same level of reverence for the Lord's day, the Sabbath day, as Israel did under the time of the law. And the way the law was administered then. So the question is, can we find it in us to do the right without being forced to? Without being killed for it? We sang Amazing Grace today. And when we think about it, brethren, we are blessed to be living in a period where we have choice. We can choose to keep God's Sabbath holy because it is in our spirit to do so, not because we are forced to. That is grace. And if we do sin, we have an opportunity to go to the Lord and repent. We are not being killed immediately. So we should learn from Israel, because that's what their experience was there for. So now, having all the knowledge and all the witnesses and all the grace, we need to do better. The Sabbath was so important to God as He established the relationship with the children of Israel, that He says here, 6 days, verse 15, may work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. This is the part. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So, when we think of the covenant relationship, one relationship that I personally love and I think about a lot, because I just can't understand how a God who is so magnificent, so great, He's self-sufficient, He's the Alpha and Omega, is everything. Why does He really want to relate to us? So when He came to down and made this covenant and says, you know, of all the people in the world, I've chosen you. I want to be a father to you. And you are to be my sons and daughters. That's the covenant relationship. And the sign of that covenant, brethren, is the Sabbath. He had a covenant with Abraham. And the sign was circumcision. So we are in this very intimate covenant relationship with God. And we keep His Sabbath as a sign. Resting is also the idea of His rest is well developed in the book of Hebrews. And if we go to Hebrews 4, here's what the writer says. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sown in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? Verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. A taste of eternity. Brethren, the writer of Hebrews is making very clear here that if we ought to enter into the eternal rest, we must cease from our own works. And this is a cycle. Every week, 6 days we work, the seventh day cease, because that's the example that God set from the beginning. I know, and the Bible speaks of the conditions of the last days, the mental condition that we all have, so much to do, so much to worry about, so much to consider. Can I do this? Can I do that? Brethren, we need a rest. The Sabbath provides that opportunity every week to break free from all worry and care. All the things that bothers you during the week with the family and the children and the work and everything, when the Holy Sabbath hours arrive, you are free by commandment.
Amen.
Isn't God wonderful?
Amen.
You know, I was doing some studies by Tyndale some years ago. And I was in a history class. And the very first class, the professor, in giving hints and guidance to the class, says, one thing he's going to encourage all of us to do is to keep the Sabbath. Oh, this was an evangelical school, and this was a Sunday keeping person, but he's saying that, look, don't think that you need to study every day in order to be good. That break that you get each day, you find that the refreshment that you get from it, you do even better at the end of the period. Try it. The very man that I was referring to, A.J. Jacobs, said that his work, being a journalist and a workaholic, he says if there's one thing that he was happy to discover during his year of living the Bible was the Sabbath. Because that break from the humdrum, that break from the daily grind, it's refreshing and revitalizing. But I can tell you, we have even more to experience than A.J. Jacobs, who was just doing it for a show. Because we have the reality of the Holy Spirit within us. And we have the kingdom of God abiding in us. And there is more to get out of our Sabbath day than what we even have been getting. Rest is ultimately what we all want to have. The world needs rest right now. Wars and rumors of wars and turmoil and conflicts and fights and all of this keep going on. And we need to calm down. So ultimately, rest will come to the entire world. And I love it because Isaiah saw it. He said, I saw new heaven and new earth. And the former was not even come to mind, was not even remembered or come to mind. I look forward to that rest. It's a beautiful world that God has created. Everything is wonderful. He said it was good. But man has made havoc of God's creation. And we are now almost all tired of the struggles and the fuss and the fight. So when Jesus said in Matthew 28, come unto me, all ye that have labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Hallelujah.
He's calling man to come out of the bondage that sin has on him.
Amen.
Into that freedom of spirit that one gets when he receives the gift of salvation from the Lord. We all need at rest. And we all need to share with our fellow human beings the delight of the Lord and the true meaning of life. I've been serving the Lord for decades. And I've been searching the Bible for more and more meaning. And the Bible never let me down. There is always something else that I can get to improve my life and the meaning of my life. And one good thing about our Sabbath coming together is to help us to understand the full meaning and purpose of our existence and to celebrate it on a weekly basis. So that leads me to the next section that I want to talk about. That the Sabbath has to do with us. And that is about feasting and fellowship. Somehow, we are happiest when we're in good company. Would you say that?
Amen.
And a great fellowship, having great moments, is just something that is desirable. Whether it be the solemnity of a Passover service or the joy and gladness of during the Feast of Tabernacles, all fellowship moments are precious, wonderful. This very moment, brethren, when we consider that we are not the only ones here talking about sacredness and spirituality, but we know that God's angels are around us.
Amen.
And sometimes we feel a touch of His presence in our very being.
Amen.
It's a wonderful moment. It's a great thing to experience week after week. Because God has given us the earnest of the Spirit. Just that little touch of it. And the way we experience spirituality today will determine how we think about our eternal life. Now, Leviticus 23:1-3 actually lists the Sabbath day as a feast day. We all know it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be the holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. So it's a feast day. And who doesn't like festivities? Let's get out and let's have a good time. The difference is that this good time is on sacred time with God's wonderful people. Brethren, it's a weekly habit. And so it's easy for us to take it for granted and to allow our fellowship to both with God and with each other to run into problems. Hebrews 10:25, just to put a New Testament context to it, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. CGI Toronto has a great respect for fellowship. And I'm certainly a beneficiary of that. I enjoyed the fellowship for a decade now. I've been here. Wonderful. But brethren, when we think of how great God is, and especially the Sabbath, which speaks to His grandeur, He is the one who made the heavens, all the beautiful mountains, the sea, the rivers, all the things that brings awe to us. When we think of who He is, when we think of the resources that He has given to us, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the wonderful people, I question, can we do better? Can we do better with our fellowship? You know, David, as a psalmist, I admire his passion ever so much. At one point, he says, you know, if I don't have the opportunity to speak about Jerusalem, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Because he wants to praise the Lord. In another psalm, he said he was in the river of Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, they sat down, they hung their harps and willows, and they wept when they remembered Zion. Because they were carried away in captivity and they could not worship, they could not praise the Lord. The harps had to be hung up. What does that tell us, brethren? When it comes to the fellowship, the rich spiritual worship time, sacred fellowship, that we need to be at our best. Where are the harps today? You know, when we really get alive to righteousness, when we get alive to spirituality, those hands that God gave us, and the brains and all the talents, they need to come together to give the Almighty the praise.
Amen.
Sometimes we have great talents and they are sitting right in the congregation. And you know, we would be so much better off to hear, you know, great music from whatever instrument we are able to manage. But are we giving those services to God? Sometimes we hold back. You know, I was blessed with the performance of the choir on Sunday because we worked hard. And we give God a praise. And I think that we are shortchanging ourselves weekly when we don't have great special music.
Yes. Hallelujah.
When there are not people coming forward to give their voices and their hands to the enriching of the Sabbath fellowship experience. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Brethren, the fact is that great things doesn't come by just wishing or hoping. They come because we make deliberate effort to achieve our goals. And I know that there are tremendous talents in this church. And this church can be the beauty of Zion as people come forth and allow God to use them to establish the spiritual fellowship that God is requiring of us. Now, notice the writer of Hebrew here says that one of the reasons for assembling ourselves together is to exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You stay home and there's no one to encourage you. Keep staying home and the devil will come beside you. And he'll make you comfortable there. Because he has everything in this world to keep you away from the spiritual. Move movies, unlimited games, shows, everything out there, music, everything. Satan has it packed. And in fact, he tried to overpack the mind, crowd you out so that you can't even see the beauty that is in the spiritual. Brethren, let's not be fooled. God has set apart a time for us to cease from our works, to rest, and to celebrate the fact that He is God of the universe and God of creation. And we are not taking it lightly. We want to give it our very best. Now, this part, as so much you see the day approaching, we just celebrated trumpets. And that sermon, it highlights the fact that there are forces that are at work that can actually bring about that day sooner or later. Brethren, the weekly encouragement that we get to one another is vital in preserving our spirit. Amen. When that day comes. So let us remember to keep exhorting one another and encouraging each other. There's a lot that comes from the pulpit in terms of preparation and exhortation. But the interaction, one-to-one, small groups, are also vital for the sustenance of the soul and the spirit. The day is approaching. All the signs are showing that it won't be long. So let us continue to be bonded in fellowship, so we can survive the test of the time. So as we conclude, brethren, the Sabbath is given for the benefit of man. Amen. Not man for the Sabbath. God wants us to cease from our work. And I know that as we live in these last days, that the season is certainly more than just not going to work, because there's so much that will rob us from appreciating the sacredness that God placed on the Sabbath day. Brethren, the resting and refreshing is important, because in Exodus 31 there, not only was it said that God rested, but He was refreshed. And so it is when we come to services and everything is at its best, we're not only rested, but we live with a sense of refreshing. Isn't that so? Everything was great. So let's look at Romans 14:17 as we contemplate this taste of eternity. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We live in a world that is full of unrighteousness, that has no peace and no joy. The kingdom of God, which we have abiding in us, brethren, is in fact just that, not meat and drink, but righteousness. When we strive to live right, we are experiencing a taste of eternity.
Amen.
Did you hear that? When we strive to live a righteous life, we're experiencing a taste of eternity, because in that kingdom it's all righteousness. Peter said it too, that we look for a kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness. We are sick of the unrighteousness around us, and so we look for that righteousness, peace. Not something that many people can attest to having today, because we do not pay attention to things that bring about peace. And when we read the Proverbs, we'll see very clearly that unless we seek understanding, we won't have peace. But we can't have understanding unless we start to listen. So brethren, let us calm down and let's use the Sabbath as an opportunity to improve on our communication by listening and listen to people. Learn how to establish peaceful relationship and keep an atmosphere of peace in God's house. Brethren, when you come to church and there is no conflict and the joy is full, tell me how you feel when you go home. So we can have a taste of eternity. Yes, when we have the peace of God in our midst, in our lives, in our hearts. You go through the week, the bosses won't upset you, the workers won't upset you, because you have the peace of God. You have a taste of eternity in you.
Amen.
That's a great Christian quality. And joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. You know, as I keep referring to H.J. Jacobs, he said that one of the things that he got from his living the Bible for a year is actual happiness. He said that when the Bible says things like be thankful, and you have to live that every day, he realized that he was feeling happier. When the Bible said that you must dwell with things such as gossip, and he says, as a journalist, lying, gossiping, and all of those, like 80% of his life. And when he has got that, he felt happier. So, brethren, yes, there's joy. There is joy in the kingdom to come, but there can be joy in our hearts right now. Jesus gives us joy. And the joy that he gives us, no one can take away. As we go through the days, through our weeks, brethren, when we have a full, refreshing, holy Sabbath day worship, no one will disturb our peace, no one will disturb our joy easily, because we are building in us that taste of eternity. The Feast of Tabernacles is around the corner, brethren, days from now. And ever since the Lord opened my mind to this wonderful calling and this feast, I know this was it. Because to go with the people of God in fellowship for 7 days, two of them are holy Sabbaths, and the other 5 days you can do other things and have great fellowship. This is just the best life.
Yes.
And I have absolutely no apology of calling the world to this lifestyle, because it is the absolute best.
Amen.
Too bad too few people have found a way, and even some who are in the way doesn't seem to appreciate the value of what we have. Brethren, I was reading, you know, in our discipleship preparation, I was sharing there that Israel, in the time of the original Hebraic keeping of the tabernacles, understand that the joy, it was immense. And there were two things that characterize that joy. In fact, three things. One was the joy that comes from reading the Word. So they have a reading cycle, and at the end of that year, during the time of Tabernacles, the readings would come to an end. So they would have educated themselves and understand that they would even add an extra day of celebration because of the reading and the knowledge that they have gained in the Word. One reason for joy. But also, one of the practices I understand is that on a nightly basis during the feast, the high priest would go to the pool of Shiloh, and he would pick up some water, and he would take to the tabernacle, the temple, and perform a water ceremony there. And following the water ceremony, they would light up the menorahs for huge lights. The combination of light and water was such joy. The Levites would bring up their instruments and their songs, and they would be singing, and the priests would lead a dance, and the whole night it was celebration. It was joy in the Holy Spirit. Brethren, eternity won't be boring. Eternal life won't be. Satan takes control of music today, take control of the big stage, and have everybody think that this is it. It's not it. The sages said, if you have not seen the priest and the people of God rejoice at those feasts, you have not seen rejoicing yet. So we have much to celebrate, much to anticipate, much to live up to. And I know my life, as long as I'm doing these things, will never be boring. What is important though, is that we start to live now as if we are in the kingdom. You know, throughout my life I realized that if I want to achieve something, live it. You know? You want to be whatever profession, think, act, put it in your mindset that this is who you are. Live it. And so I like to live as if, yeah, I'm actually in the kingdom. I have the peace of the kingdom. I have the joy of the kingdom. I have the life of the kingdom. In fact, I'm experiencing the kingdom of God in my life on a daily basis. Brethren, have a wonderful Sabbath, have a wonderful feast wherever you go. Make it joy, make it peace, and we'll see you as we continue the rejoicing, as we continue to taste eternity.
Amen.
Bless you.